Hello and welcome back to Whistling Straits and our Talking Dot Golf podcast from the Ryder Cup presented by Iron Jock. I'm Rob Hernandez, joined by Gary D'Amato as we are finally at the start of the Ryder Cup, the 43rd Ryder Cup here from Whistling Straits. Today, the opening ceremony and the long-awaited announcement of the Friday morning foursomes matches. We'll get to those in a second. Gary, let's start first with the opening ceremony. A lot of famous people, a lot of familiar faces, including Herb Kohler, but ultimately it came down to Padraig Harrington and Steve Stricker introducing their teams, their wives, and really getting the crowd fired up. There's a somewhat different vibe to this Ryder Cup. It did rain a little bit before the opening ceremony, but we're at least to the point now where we can tee it up and see what's going to go on here with these 12 players from each side.
Yeah, Rob, I thought Steve Stricker and Padraig Harrington were very true to their personalities in their speeches, introducing their players and thanking the various people who make the Ryder Cup possible. Steve was kind of a down-home, you know, this is my home, this is my backyard. Choked up a couple times when he introduced his daughters and his wife. And Padraig was very, very polished. I thought he had all the right notes in his speech. And then we found out, finally, the pairings for tomorrow.
The pairings go like this. In the match number one, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, a pairing we've seen before, going up against Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia. Match number two, Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa taking on Paul Casey and Victor Hovland. Match number three, Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger from the U.S. going up against Europe's Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. And finally, in the anchor match of the morning foursomes, it's Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele going up against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. Gary, let's get started with the match number one. I don't think anyone in the building thought that that was a surprise by any means. I know that Sergio Garcia and Jon Rahm have paired with different people, but it sure seems like Thomas and Spieth is going to be a pairing that Steve Stricker rides here at Whistling Straits.
Yeah, he's going to ride them, you know, until they lose very badly, which I don't see happening in any of their matches. I think they'll be together for a long time, like you said, both this weekend and future Ryder Cups. And, you know, they have very similar games, similar personalities. They're close friends. They went 3-1 in 2018. No reason to split them up. And, of course, they're facing a really good duo, the new Spanish Armada, with Jon Rahm ranked number one in the world and Sergio, who's won more Ryder Cup points than anybody. That's going to be a great start, great match.
Where do you see it coming down to? You've got obviously the world's number one in Jon Rahm and the all-time leading scorer in Ryder Cup history in Sergio Garcia. To me, it almost seems like Jordan Spieth is the wild card. There's a lot of talk about whether his driver will remain straight enough to flourish in four ball, I don't see it not. Do you?
No, I don't. You know, my guess is maybe Justin Thomas tees off on the, I guess it would be the even holes, the longer holes and the longer par fours and a couple of long par fives and Jordan Spieth would get three of the four par threes if he tees off on the odd holes. So I think my guess is that's the way it's going to go. So you don't have to worry about Jordan with a driver in his hands on too many of the key long holes.
And before we get on to the next three matches, at this point, do we need to kind of throw stats to the wind and, in form and all the stuff that we've talked about? I mean, there's a certain part of, you know, just really embracing the moment with the Ryder Cup matches, aren't there?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You know, as we've seen many times in the past, you know, overall, the U.S. has come in as a big favorite and lost. The stats really don't matter. I mean, they give you a kind of a guideline for how guys are playing, and the form certainly going in, I think, is important somewhat. But you're right, it comes down to, you know, who's got the guts in a match, who can pull off a shot when a match is, you know, tied going in the last couple holes, who can make a crucial putt, and that stuff doesn't ever show up on statistics.
The next couple matches are interesting. Let's start with match two. Dustin Johnson, a Ryder Cup veteran, the oldest member of the U.S. squad, pairing with rookie Colin Morikawa, who hasn't played in either a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup. And they will take on Paul Casey and one of the three European rookies, Victor Hovland. To me, an interesting attempt by both captains to mix and match experience with rookies. And Colin Morikawa could prove to be a very critical piece of Steve Stricker's puzzle. We just have no data to go on to see how he's going to embrace this moment.
I really like that team, Rob. I, you know, I'm thinking a 5-4 victory for America now. And the reason is Morikawa is so good with his irons, and if Dustin Johnson drives the ball halfway decent, Morikawa is going to have a lot of short irons and wedges in the greens, and he is so good. So I see that being a really good team. I think Casey and Hovland, I think that could go anywhere. I mean, they could be good, and they could not be good. So that's what I'm really anxious to see how that unfolds.
Match number three, Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger against Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. In Westwood, you've got a guy who is making his 11th Ryder Cup appearance at the age of 48. I would not expect to see him in more than three matches this weekend, but, you know, again, we could be wrong. Brooks Koepka, though, this is a chance for this guy to really step up and be a leader of this team. He kind of lashed out today in his news conference about, you know, being maybe taken out of context about his feelings with about the Ryder Cup. Here's a chance for him to show it.
Yeah, he can definitely let his clubs do the talking here and turn back some of his naysayers and his critics. I mean, if that team goes out and gets a point for the U.S., people already like Brooks, but they're going to embrace him even more and forget about what he said in that magazine interview.
And Steve Stricker really, really likes Daniel Berger in foursomes. Can you sort of expound on why that is, and how do you like the way he fits with Brooks Koepka?
I think they're both, they're both pretty quiet on the outside, but very, very fiery competitors. Daniel Berger's a bulldog. I think Steve Stricker loves the grit in that guy. And that's why I think they're a good pairing, because I think their personalities mesh well together. I think they're very similar in that they don't say a lot, but their clubs do the talking.
Matt Fitzpatrick, 0-2 at Hazeltine in 2016, and didn't play in the last Ryder Cup team. This is one that really could come back to haunt Harrington if all of a sudden you've got three matches out on the course that have a lot of red behind them.
It could, yeah, especially if the first two matches go the U.S. way and then that third one starts turning U.S. All of a sudden there's a lot of USA, USA on the board. You know, that's another one. Who knows what that European team is going to do? Lee Westwood is 48, as you mentioned, but has a ton of experience, and he's going to hold Fitzpatrick by the hand and guide him through that match.
And the anchor match, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, a pair of Ryder Cup rookies who paired well together in the 2019 President's Cup, going up against Rory McIlroy, who's become a veteran of the European Ryder Cup team. And then, of course, public enemy number one, Ian Poulter, who seems to thrive. But the pairing of McIlroy and Poulter, 3-1 over the last three Ryder Cups, but only 1-1 in foursomes. So at least there's a chance there. But again, I think this is a pairing that, even though you're talking about two rookies for the U.S., there are also two guys that we might see not only a lot this weekend, but for years to come.
Yeah, this is a match that I think potentially is going to swing Europe's way. Rob, we did our picks, which are on Wisconsin.golf, and I picked the first three to go USA's way, but I picked this one to go Europe's way. I just like that combination of McIlroy and Poulter. Poulter gets under the American skin, and Cantlay and Schauffele, although they're very, very experienced, you know, Cantley's a FedEx Cup champion and Schauffele's a gold medalist in the Olympics, but they haven't done anything in a Ryder Cup yet. So I kind of like Europe's experience in that match.
And the reason I went against Europe in this one is just because I got a chance to write a story about Ian Poulter today. At number 50 in the world, it's his lowest world ranking in going into a Ryder Cup since his rookie Ryder Cup. And, I just, again, not necessarily to form. And then there's also, you know, been some criticism of Rory McIlroy not kind of being vintage Rory McIlroy. I guess this will be the match that shows us a lot on both sides. But as the Europeans go, I need to see these two guys be the Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter that we've seen in the last few Ryder Cups before I ride them on the Euro side when I'm picking them. But again, that's the beauty of this, isn't it? I mean, we just don't know. We don't have enough. We can't rub off the crystal ball and see how these guys are going to perform. We got some rain on the course today, and we've had a lot of wind all week. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns as we hit the first tee tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the whole beauty of the Ryder Cup. And the first day, we're going to get some answers, at least in foursomes in the morning. It's going to be interesting to see who plays in four balls in the afternoon, Rob, because, you know, four guys from each team sit. Do all four of them play in the afternoon, or does someone sit out two matches in a day, which potentially can hurt a guy's confidence, you know? So
In the news conferences, both captains indicated they have their plans set. They are unlikely to deviate because of the morning matches. So that suggests that maybe we'll see all 12 guys from both sides on opening day. But again, you've got a couple of pairings for the U.S. side. Morikawa, Johnson, and Cantlay, Schauffele behind Thomas and Spieth that, are ones that it just seemed based on the practice round pairings like we could see a lot of those three groups here this weekend. And then, of course, you got to find room for Bryson DeChambeau, who's sitting in the morning session. We anticipate a pairing with Harris English in best ball in the afternoon. But in best ball, you could put Bryson with just about anybody, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he plays in both best ball matches. Probably doesn't play in the foursome matches because, you know, if he's a little wild with his driver, he puts his partner in very uncomfortable spots. But he can be a killer in best ball because his partner, if it's Harris English, can go out and make a lot of pars and a few birdies and then just turn Bryson loose and kill, crush, and destroy, make as many birdies as he can.
Absolutely. Gary, before we close up what are we now? Thursday edition of Talking.Golf.
Yes.
I can't. The days are starting to blend together, folks. But Friday, it'll be unique because it's the first tee of the opening day of the matches. And you've been there before. The fans are going to come out early, and they're going to fill those stands behind that first tee. What do you expect now that you've seen the setup? We've seen, we know that it'll be Rahm and Garcia, Thomas and Spieth. What's your crystal ball saying about what we can expect bright and early tomorrow morning?
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And there's always a celebrity appearance or two on the first tee. We were speculating that maybe Giannis makes an appearance here at the Ryder Cup. I don't think that would surprise anybody to see him walk out there out of that tunnel. He'll have to duck his head a little bit. But once he gets out there, if he comes, he's going to get an enormous ovation. Michael Jordan has shown up at Ryder Cups. He was there at Medina and a couple others. But the atmosphere is going to be great, Rob. And I know we're getting up very early to get here to see it, 4:30.
And with that, we are going to sign off on this edition of Talking.Golf from the Ryder Cup. Gary, we'll see you for our ride about, 4:30, 4:45 down here to the course.
I mean,
this must be like the Olympics for you. You never sleep because you're always waiting for the next thing. So tomorrow's the big thing. It's the opening day of the matches here at Whistling Straits. So we'll do this again tomorrow night. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf from the Ryder Cup, presented by Iron Jock.